Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Mysteries, Miracles, well, Mystery, Miracles and Mysticism. I'm your host, Vanessa, and welcome to the show. You're very welcome to be here with me this evening. So, the title of the show, Starbeams and the Removal of Ghosts and How Movies Can Affect Us. There's been so much going on. And as it's close to Halloween, I thought I would add in a bit of humour, you know, delving into removal of ghosts and demons, eh? That's just a little bit of my kind of dry humour. But anyway, for anyone who's new to this show is dedicated to Almeen, world-leading mystic and seer, and her sacred teachings that she has brought through to humanity, helping to break free from matrices and grids, belief systems, things that have kept you trapped in maybe certain realities that are not really necessarily resonant, I suppose, for that moment, or you may need to move on. So it's really amazing. Her tools are actually very, very profound. I feel last week we were talking about Esplanavet, Belvas Batah, that Almeen has brought through as a free gift, I might add, for anyone who's interested and is a Belvas Batah practitioner. This beautiful gift helps you to remove ghosts and psychic impressions, so you can do it for buildings, houses, homes, yourself. And I'd just like to share my experience. I've used it twice now, and I did it one night. I'm actually seeing the divine synchronicity when I saw a post on Almeen's diary, and I'm just actually rereading it, so I'm kind of going, oh my gosh, that is so profound, because I feel I was at a retreat in the dream time. So I did the beautiful Esplanavet Belvas Batah healing to remove ghosts and psychic impressions from myself, and as a proxy for all of life and the earth everywhere. Wherever there's been trauma, or wherever there's been, you know, you can do it for places like that, if there's been war or famine for people who are in the Holocaust, you know, these ghosts would have been trapped on Earth. So it's really important to remove them, because they tie up energy. So when you actually remove them, you're actually blessing all of life, to be honest. So I noticed... I noticed I did this beautiful healing, and I remember I did it for my son's school, and then I intended for all schools everywhere. And it was really amazing, because my son came home and said, Mom, I had kind of a I'm just jumping back a little bit as well, because we got the beautiful sacred power wheels for removing mind control and nanotechnology. So I did the healing for removing of ghosts and psychic impressions. And I also did that with the power wheels to remove mind control from all schools and people everywhere, and also nanotechnology to remove them as well. And I did that, and my son came home from school and went, Mom, today was kind of okay at school. It was, you know, and for him to say that, it was a big thing for me. I can only say it for myself. So I felt so deeply, deeply grateful, because I really felt something had shifted. And I'm also observing, when I finished doing the healing, immediately this sacred song just starts to pour through me. And it feels like angels singing through me, but because there's no words in this, it's all different tones that are actually pouring through me, and expression and frequency. And I feel I had a vision of like white light going up from the earth, like nearly like a pranic tube, but extending up from the earth. And it was just blasting up, actually. And I just felt waves of gratitude from my inner and outer senses. And it was really beautiful, and I just really felt the profundity of what was happening. And then later on that night, as I went to bed, Almeen was in my dream time. And I felt the word for like we were at the haven. There's a place called the Haven, but I realized the word I was seeing was heaven, heaven. And I remember Anu speaking to me without words, and I felt very excited that she was in my dream time and very, very grateful at the same time. And we were having a, I remember Anu was in a limousine. It was like she was in a limousine, and I was speaking with her and. Other things happened anyway in the dream time, but I remember there was lots of students there. There was a lot of students I didn't know there. I didn't really recognize them, to be honest. But I just remember feeling very joyful and very delighted that she was in my dream time and that we were connecting and we were communicating about certain things. But she spoke to me like verbally, but also beyond words. And I have to read this now, Creating Heaven on Earth, because this was posted on the 16th of October, and it's on Almin's diary. So for anyone new to Almin's diary, you can check out www.spiritualjourneys.com. And I'm just showing how when you start to walk this path, you start to become aware of the divine synchronicities in your life, in your environment, whether it's dream time or physicality. You know, that the veils are so thin between the two. It's really, for me, there's no difference, you know, because you gain the insights from both. So, of course, it's less physical in the dream time, but then there's another aspect to that. So, okay, I'm going to read this to you. It's called Creating Heaven on Earth. And I just felt, wow, this is in my dream time. I really felt I was at a retreat. And when I read this, I was like, I feel like it's confirmation that I was at a retreat. Maybe not in the physical, but I felt I was there. So during our recent room event in Toronto, a student in attendance shared her experience of creating a beautiful garden. From its inception, it has been dedicated to Almin, and all of the light workers all over the earth. Now, the word inception doesn't sit with me, really. It feels to me like the word inception, I don't know if anyone ever saw that movie, so I'm not going to give it too much energy, but that entire word inception feels to me. Anyway, it's just an observation, but if anyone has seen the movie, so when I see that word, I kind of go, but people were able to climb down cords in the dream time. That's kind of what they were doing in this movie, Inception. So anyway, it has been dedicated to Almin and all of the life workers all over the earth. Everything about the garden is intuitive and different, including the actual space, how it was created and is maintained, plus the blessings and miracles that it is yielding. A question about the garden arose following a dream which involved the garden being torn apart, utterly ruined, and the creator of the garden attacked and cut with a knife on her upper left arm. So the question to Almin was, in a dream, a beautiful garden that I've created was torn apart and utterly destroyed. Also in this dream, I was personally attacked and my upper left arm was cut with a knife. I'm concerned that my garden is actually in danger and that this is a warning. Can you please explain? And Almin's answer is, there have been several of us that have had near accidents with knives, greens about them, or actual cuts from them. Symbolism of any weapon indicates that we need to protect ourselves from something. The recent increase in these signs indicates that we need to watch for something that can disrupt heaven on earth that we have been building in the midst of humanity's turmoil. The garden represents the God reality that we've been creating, which is heaven on earth. So she may have been seeing, in my perspective, because I don't presume to know anything, but in my perspective, from what she's saying, and Amin's interpretation of the garden represents the God reality, that this person who dreamt this dream was witnessing the God reality being destructured and ruined and under attack. So that's interesting. Okay, so there are two pieces of our lives that are still left over, programs of our old duality in matrices. I have to study these more, but it will have to do with what we think a healthy relationship is between couples in families and spreading to relationships outside of the home. Two areas specifically stand out as illusions. Illusion one, this is Almin giving the answers, by the way. Illusion one, thinking that sexuality is an essential prerequisite to a devoted and loving relationship for couples. The act of sexuality, from the way it is between humans, a necessary act with copulation, and becomes more of a constantly present catalyst or stimulus of new potential, which may or may not be acted out as sexual consummation. Illusion two, a very ingrained part of the matrix that has to be re-examined and shed immediately is the belief that talking as a form of communication is a necessary component of a healthy relationship. We are entering an evolved stage of empathic and telepathic connection that bypasses words. Conversations for the sake of being social and making conversation in order to reach out to someone drains resources and has no part in a reality of godhood. Speak when you wish, but re-examine why you are speaking. Does it keep you from being lonely? The fullness of empathic and telepathic connection is not an experience of loneliness. Are you speaking because others expect it, or because you think that is what keeps you together as a couple or a family or as a family? Let us rethink our compulsion to speak because of belief systems. We are ushering in a new reality by living beyond the matrix. And that is quite profound, because I found a beautiful sacred rock today. I was at a beach today and I was just enjoying the sunshine. It was just, I was experiencing heaven actually in those moments before I had to take my son. And I was just sitting on the beach, it was just so glorious. I'm giving love, praise and gratitude and trust to the infinite, and just having this so close by and being able to access it. And you know, this beach actually had lots of tiny rocks on it, and suddenly I'm sitting there and this small little rock gets my attention, and I felt empathically what it was saying to me. So I picked up this beautiful rock, and I felt immediately a new birth, a baby. I could see a birth, but like a being, a person. And also I could see a birth and a baby. And the insight I got, which I actually wrote down earlier on, I'm going to share it with you. The radiance of a new baby being birthed through the cosmic birth canal, through the infinite ocean and sacred depth of my being, through the sacred wounds recently given, old patterns will be dissolved. So it's very beautiful. I just felt it was very beautiful communication from this sacred rock being that I wrote down. And it actually inspired me to write more poetry. But you know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to share with you, I'm going to play one of the earth chants, Calling the Lemurian Angels. And actually it's a bit long, so I might leave that to later. I didn't realize it was so long, actually. So actually, I'll play something else. I'm going to play the Kachinas, which ties in with the beautiful rock. Okay, it's all in divine perfection. So the Kachinas was a beautiful rock that I actually found and I gave to Almin. And their fossilized remains were actually in there. So I just think it's even more profound synchronicities. I didn't realize, actually, till I saw that. And so the sacred Kachinas, yeah. It's actually very beautiful. So that I'm actually going to play the Kachinas, and they represent innocence, and all of these things were restored when this beautiful rock was given to Almin. So please enjoy this lovely piece from Almin. Thank you. welcome back to the show. This is Mystery, Miracles and Mysticism. I'm your host, Vanessa, and you're very welcome to be with me this evening. So, moving on, we're going to kind of mention about removing ghosts, because this has been a big part of what's been going on this last week. So someone asked Darlene, what significance does the ability to remove ghosts with Esclavanet Balvaspita have for someone who has never seen or isn't bothered by a ghost? Darlene's answer is, doing Esclavanet removes ghosts from our lives in the form of old memories of trauma held in the body, causing aches and pains and making us prone to injury. It also removes what psychologists call engrams, psychological trigger points that cause knee-jerk reactions. That's pretty amazing. So not only can you do it for yourself, when you're doing it for yourself, you're removing all of this stuff and, you know, trauma, old memories of trauma held in the body, causing aches and pains, which makes us prone to injury. And like, it's like you're removing linear time as well. But, you know, it's actually so profound because, you know, removing psychological trigger points that cause knee-jerk reactions, and it's amazing. And you're clearing your house as well. So, you know, you could do it for yourself, but also include your house, do it for your house, where you live, or everywhere. You can just include everywhere, the earth, all of the earth, all of life on earth, as a proxy for all of life. You know, and the brilliant thing about it is it can't be enforced on life. So, you know, that's the beauty of Balvaspita. You can't actually enforce it on life. It's just so amazing. It's brilliant, actually, that way. So, very clever. Very clever the way that came through. So, excuse me. We also had the illumination from the Andromedans, for anyone who's been picking up on star beams. So this was posted recently by Jan on the 18th of October. How perfect for this unfolding moment in the amazing synchronicity of the illumination shared by the seer Amin. While working on the Book of Star Transmissions, I've come across these gems which just beg to be shared. When we abandon ourselves, the tendency to define ourselves by what we are not becomes strong. Anything that defines itself by its opposite is an illusion. No opposites exist within the one life. As long as the life of opposites is lived, we cannot know our oneness. By proclaiming illusion to have no hold over you because it does not exist is to have an illusory relationship with a shadow. Language, by nature, is separation-based. Anything that can be described is therefore an illusion. Experience in silence the oneness. Concept of permanence arising from the divisions created by mind is in opposition to the ever-new unfolding of life. Immortal incorruptibility is the becoming of life's fluid expression. So you can see the post on Creating Heaven on Earth about the illusion of talking being necessary for communication. Yeah, I find it can be quite draining. But, I feel the more into silence you go, the more aware of oneness you can be and how you really feel that there is actually no separation. It's really interesting when you actually, you know, you just switch off everything and just go into silence. It's actually amazing. There was a recent post as well about animal totems and dream cycles. So the question was, would the old dream cycles be considered ghosts? And if so, must we contemplate all 24 cycles individually to appreciate their value, or does it suffice to hold gratitude for them collectively? Amin's answer, a very much overlooked tool for daily use is the poetry of dreaming. Use it after waking in the morning and ask yourself, what must I see from the night's dreams? use a verse or two to answer your own questions and for guidance in general. There's another question. Do we use the poetry of dreaming or use the interpretation of dream symbols? So Almeen has a free post there, a free download, for, and there's little, it's in blue, so you can click on it and you will actually get for free the diary, which is a total gift. I carry it with me. I actually laminated it and made it into a small little book. So it's so handy because, you know, you're going to use it. You're actually going to use it. So Almeen's answer is to this, use both. If you remember the dream images, interpret them symbolically. They represent the shallow dream states and a specific set of past lifetime cycles. There will definitely be significant parts of the night that you don't remember. Ask them to speak to you and write down the poetry verse as instructed in Sri Hapsapa Yoga, the yoga of reincarnation. The parts of your sleep you can't remember represent the deep dream states. They seek to resolve the ancient reincarnation cycles. By clearing the ghostly influences from the past, they disappear, leaving only the moment fully empowered. Elements of the organs heal from working out the issues of these ancient cycles. Another question, does the Esclavonet Balvaspata have any direct benefit for those unresolved shadow cycles? Or is it more specific to individuated ghost entities or or physical locations, for example, on battlefields where many have died? Almeen's answer to this is, Esclavonet does not address the ghosts of cosmic cycles that have been lived. The sigils of this Balvaspata only work for life within our existing cosmos. They definitely will help clear the earth ghosts in the form of holocausts, battlefields, etc. However, as well as personal ones, I mean, that's pretty amazing. It's a massive gift. It's a massive, massive gift. On that note, I'm going to play another audio. And for those who are listening to last week's show, we have some information about the beautiful power books that Almeen has brought out. And there are 7 of them to come, and she has brought out 2. One is the book Spells, and the other one is the Book of Runes. And there's a 3rd one on its way, The Bridge of No Time. But before I mention any more, I would like you to listen to the hidden meaning of the power books. So this is a bit more in depth. It's well worth listening to because it's so insightful. It's an older audio, but it's still very, very insightful. So if anyone's interested in about what the entire 7 books do, just have a listen to this. It will blow your mind.
So, Almeen, I actually didn't really want to ask this question. It didn't really seem to fit in anywhere, but some of your students, and I've heard this through the grapevine, have been really anticipating receiving your first power book, the Book of Spells. Some of your students have been saying amongst themselves, you know what, these power books aren't just tools, they are the tools. It seems that you are preparing your students for something major, and that we've had kind of like practice runs until now, practice runs that have failed, and it seems to be that it's getting out of the dream in totality. And due to that, these practice runs haven't worked, you brought in the big guns, if you will, and those are these power books. And
did you say the practice runs haven't worked? Because of course they've worked. I mean, the whole world has changed.
You're completely correct. The practice runs in this case of getting out of the dream completely and leaving it all behind completely. Those practice runs wouldn't have completely worked. So the idea is that these power books would be your final attempt to get us all out of the dream, and that is their kind of their hidden message, if you will.
If we are totally out of the dream, then there is no interaction and no life. So the dream is unfolding. And there never really will be a time that we are totally out of the dream. Otherwise, we won't even have individuation. So there will never come a time that we will not be working on getting out of a dream. The dreams are but the footsteps upon the path of eternity. So that is number one. And we have been very, very successful with our other tools of getting out of the dream. When I am on the road, I have people say to me how their lives have profoundly changed in finding this journey. They don't have to tell me. People that I've seen year after year, I see them growing in luminosity, in peace, in maturity, in contentment, in self-confident expression of Godhood. So those are ways in which we're changing one dream for another, in which we are becoming lucid dreamers. So that is one way in which the dream has indeed changed. That we're going into a second lucid dreaming stage, which eventually we're looking at seven stages of the mastering the dream, not going out of the dream. The seven stages of mastering the dream are the seven power books. So the power books are major power objects. The opposition we had to actually get that spell book into people's hands has been, you know, we sat and looked at each other and said, you know, we've got to laugh because if we don't, we're going to cry. It's been unbelievable all the things that have come in the way of those power books, or specifically the first one. But I know in my heart that it is a timing mechanism because it is such a powerful object that it's waiting for little pieces of understanding to be put into place, and that when it is in people's hands, it will be the exact right moment. So, the seven power books. We have spoken about the seven perspectives of man. The part we have not spoken about that is coming out in the sexual magic protocol is that there are actually also seven feminine perspectives of life. So, as we have the feminine perspectives, we have the masculine perspectives. They make 14. But they are an alchemical equation. And if you add them together, you get 15, which is the divine compassion signal, sigil, is right in the middle, is its 15th point. That's the portal. And yes, jointly, they are opening a portal. And the portal is in so that we can actually wield reality eventually while remaining in the dream. Because the seventh gate of dreaming, now I've spoken about these gates of dreaming, and I know, at the very least, do you know I've written them? Because I spoke them and they are gathered by the Russians who have put together the Institute of Shamanism. I believe they're in the Institute of Shamanism, the Seven Gates of Dreaming. These books represent the seven gates of dreaming, because after the seventh gate is done, magic should be able to manipulate matter. In the seventh gate of dreaming, you are able with your dream body to push a pencil across your table so that when you wake up in the morning, you can see that the pencil is now no longer at this side of the table, it's now on the other side of the table. It can actually move physical objects. People that have made a study of that seventh gate of dreaming are the original Aboriginals of Australia.
So putting these power books together, what would they jointly do?
Jointly, they would be forming capabilities of living miraculously and living magically. Of course, as I've said before, they are power objects. So even if you just have one of those books in your vicinity, there are certain things that they prevent and eliminate, such as cords that bind, implants that have been put in, etc. And sometimes spells have been intergenerational, so they're really hard to spot. They hide, even for the eyes of somebody that sees energy, they hide behind genetic lines. So, like, you can only see them if you remove the genetic cord around somebody's ankle, say, and then you remove that cord, and you can see those genetic cords on the gas discharge video imaging, which I think we have on our Bell Hospital site, or in at least in its the first book. You can see the cord. You have to remove that cord to be able to see a black magic cord that comes through generations, and then you have to know what you're seeing. Books like this first one, eliminates those cords. If we couple it with helping enthusiastically to create our reality without trying to control it, nothing's going to ever touch you in that area again.
So that was an amazing audio. What can I say? It's quite profound. So you can see that having seven of these sacred books in your house, I mean, who wants to get them? I do, you know. They're definitely things I want. I want to develop capabilities and, you know, obviously cancel out things that are illusory and that you no longer need in your reality or ever wanted in your reality. And, you know, it's really interesting when Almi mentions, like, intergenerational, you know, how people could have actually, yeah, you know, these things could have happened. So it's amazing if you're cancelling it out in your reality. I mean, the Book of Spells cancels out black magic. I feel the Book of Runes deals with ethereal and implants and stuff like that. So it's amazing to have these in your actual environment, because you're preventing certain things from interfering, actually. And there are no words for having that in your, you know, there's no price on that, really, you know. Definitely a beautiful gift to give people. Christmas is coming. I'm actually going to say goodnight to you beautiful beings for listening and tuning in. And I hope this show was insightful to you in some way, that you got some beautiful gifts from this show. I always love doing this, you know. I'm always feeling what may be needed for the next radio show and what's, you know, resonant for right now. Actually, I would like to say before we finish, because I did say about removing ghosts and stuff like that, and I didn't even mention it. I'm still busy talking. There you go, talking. So, can movies affect us? Amin's answer to this is, how does watching movies and with monsters such as demons affect our homes? Amin answers, demons, for instance, are etheric. Our dream body that enters into the soul world during the dream time is also etheric, non-physical. This is where we encounter the biggest problems. We may not be able to touch an etheric being. They seem non-physical to us, but an etheric being can touch another etheric being, and they seem physical to one another. By focusing on an age that may represent an actual being, we can be hurt in the dream time by such a malevolent creature. In the soul world, all the dream world, we can manifest objects with thought. If we watch a movie and the creatures in it aren't representations of actual beings, but their images are in our heads, we will manifest them in the dream world because we manifest with thought. How can they come into our houses? Amin's answer, by following us down the cords that connect the dream body or soul to the physical body when we sleep. In this way, they can enter the physical realm, which brings me to the word infection. Okay, the question then, how do we know that we manifest with thought in the soul world or during the dreams? Amin's answer is, in 2005, I worked with six spirits who helped me with my work. If they needed a basket, for instance, they would manifest one. It was physical to them, but not to me. Another question, can non-physical beings have enough power to injure a physical being? Amin's answer, yes, I've encountered multiple instances of that. So there you go, everybody. It's really important to focus our awareness on things that we really love and create our heaven on earth, and be aware of what we're actually giving attention to, and obviously what we're looking at through our movies, things like that. So you can actually download Labyrinth of the Moon. That contains the poetry of dreaming and the poetic perspective. You can check it out on Amin's diary, www.spiritualjourney.com. And the poetry of dreaming assists in opening the deepest of our dream cycles. And it also includes dream dictionary and other dream symbols, which I find very, very useful. So thank you to Amin for all of the beautiful gifts that you've given us. Thank you for this show. And thank you to all of our beautiful listeners. And I will see you again next week. We can tune in and, you know, connect as our beautiful light family again. And you can tune in on Roots and Wings. I'm on Facebook. Vanessa Power is my name. You can look it up and you can see the beautiful post. I'm going to post this radio show on Facebook if you want to have a listen to it again. Why not? There'll be more beautiful insights next week. And let's see what unfolds. So, without further ado, I bid you good night and have a magical one. Thank you.